There's been a topic on my heart the last few days. The topic is called Unity and the Servant's Heart. And I don't know why God put that on my heart this week, but He has. And so you can turn in your Bibles to John 13 if you like. We're going to be there in just a moment or two, and it'll be on this big screen if you don't happen to have your Bible with you this morning. But I want us to ponder today, friends, unity in the church house and the servant's heart. And so we're going to see an example of Jesus here in a moment, but I want to tell you a couple little stories. I was reading some things on the internet the other day to do with this idea of unity and the servant's heart, and I read this little story comes from a man by the name of Brian Buehler who wrote these things. First thing he writes, true story. The second one, the participants are true with a little bit of an extra twist. Listen to the story because they both have a point. When Brennan Manning, an evangelical Catholic, was waiting to catch a plane in the Atlanta airport, he sat down in one of the many places where usually black men shine white men's shoes. An elderly black man was there, and he began to shine Brennan's shoes. And Brennan had this feeling inside that when he was done, he should not only pay him and tip him, but he should reverse the role. And when he had finished, he stood up and he looked at the black man and said, "Now, sir, I would like to shine your shoes." And when the black man recoiled and stepped back and he said, You're going to do what?" He said, "I'd like to shine your shoes. Come on now, sit down here. How would you like them done?" And the black man began to cry, and he said, "No white man ever talked to me like this before." And the story ends with the white Catholic with arms around the black Atlanta man, and they've only just met, tears flowing, embracing, reconciliation taking place. A servant's heart. A servant's heart is what I want you to think about today. A servant's heart in the church house. Story number two. This story is told of three men, all of the New Testament, who were born blind. They are real characters in the New Testament. You can read about them. As I mentioned earlier, at the end of the story, there's a little twist here to make us think about unity. These men heard about one another. They'd all been blind. They'd all been healed by Jesus. They'd heard about one another and decided to have a get-together and celebrate their unity in Christ. After all, He had healed them. And while they're together, exchange testimonies. After the men introduced themselves to each other and exchanged warm embraces, Bartimaeus began. Some of you remember the story about blind Bartimaeus, right? This would mean yes. Some of you remember blind Bartimaeus, I think. He's in the Bible. He stood outside the town of Jericho crying out, "Lord, have mercy on me. Son of David," he cried out, making this scene, "have mercy on me." Blind Bartimaeus shouted. And Jesus stopped, the Bible says. The crowd quieted down. "He asked me the most unusual question," Bartimaeus said. He said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And I said, "Rabbi, I want to see." He said, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." Gentlemen, at that very moment, remember, Bartimaeus is conveying this to his former blind friends. "Gentlemen, at that moment, instantaneously, I was healed and I could see, and I have come to this conclusion that when it comes to healing blind men, Jesus uses our faith and His word, and that equals healing." Well, the other two should have been enthusiastic about this healing, but they weren't enthusiastic at all. The man from Bethsaida began his testimony by saying, "Gentlemen, my story of how Christ touched me isn't anything like that. Jesus took me out of the city He spit directly in my eyes. Then he touched my eyes with his hands. I was expecting this instantaneous healing, just like you, Bartimaeus, have told me you received. But I opened my eyes, and I would rather have been blind because it was awful. I looked as if it were men, and it looked like just trees, the man from Bethsaida says. Then Jesus repeated the procedure. He spit in my eyes again, and he touched me. Gentlemen, the second time I opened my eyes, I could see. And I am convinced that when Jesus heals blind men, he uses spit, and he does it in two stages. The other man said, "Gentlemen, remember they are gathered together to celebrate their unity in Christ. Let that sink in just a moment." They were together to celebrate their unity in Christ. Blind man number three says, "Gentlemen, I would seriously doubt the validity of either one of your healings. When Jesus healed me, you see, he used saliva all right, but he didn't spit in my face. He spit in the ground, and he took the saliva and the dirt, and he made mud, and he put the mud in my eyes. It was a most uncomfortable experience. Then he told me to go to the pool of Siloam and commanded that I wash the mud out there. As I washed out the mud that he had made, I could instantly see. I'm convinced, therefore, my fellow blind, former blind men, that Jesus, when he heals them, he uses mud and the holy waters of the pool of Siloam." Needless to say, the outcome of this gathering was devastation, separation, and division. You see what I'm saying? They had gathered under the unity, under the umbrella of Jesus Christ, and yet in their experiences, there was division, divisiveness, and disunity, forgetting completely their common bond in Christ and focusing on their own experience. They went away divided, separated. Now, this story is out of characters in the Bible, yes, but it is just a story put together so that it reminds us to think, because we can relate to unity in Christ and yet disunity by something else. It asks us to think today, friends. A servant's heart and a united heart. It could be someone's skin color that you don't like. It could be the way someone dresses that you're not comfortable with. It could be the church they used to be in or they are in today. It could be the translation of Bible that I use or the next teacher uses or something else. It could be something that just seems to irritate us or stick with us. And even though we might come together as a church and be part of the body of Christ, we seem to want to make a scene or an issue about these other things. We seem to want to make an issue about these other things, and our common bond of Jesus is soon overridden by our pride, by our prejudices, and by our blindness to see the way that God works in other people's lives. Thank you. Sometimes we are blinded completely to the way our Heavenly Father is working in somebody else's life. Well, He didn't do that way for me. We are completely blinded because somebody has different skin color than I do, or his clothes are ragged and torn and mine don't happen to be, or they grew up in that church or that. We are completely blinded by the things of life, and we forget the unity that we have in Jesus. John 13, an example of Jesus. unity, friends. Unity and a servant's heart. John 13 says this, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?'" Do you see the scene that night, friends? Do you see the Master, God incarnate, getting on his knees, having taken off his outer robes, putting a towel around him, going to the disciples? Yes, they were men of important positions. They were apostles after all. They were disciples after all. But Jesus, putting the towel around him, going there and kneeling before the disciples and washing their feet. And he gets to Peter. Oh, Peter, don't we love him? And he gets to Peter and he said, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus said, "What I'm doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet. You are the Son of God. This job is for servants. You shall not wash my feet." And Jesus said to him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me, Peter." Simon Peter then said to him, "Lord, not my feet only then, but my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For we know who he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, 'You are not all clean.'" It boils down to this, friends. Listen to the word of God. Verse 12. "So when he had washed their feet, taken back on his garments, and sat down, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you?'" He asked them, apostles, disciples, men of God here tonight, "Do you know what it is I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord," Jesus said, which is correct because he was their teacher and he was Lord. He is Lord. "You call me teacher, you call me Lord, you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Again, the question, do you know why I have done this to you? He says, because I'm setting an example for you to be a servant to others too. "Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Unity and the servant's heart. Friends, in churches today all over, let me ask you to ponder. Would you be willing to get up and shine the shoes of that shoe shine man that just shined your shoes at the airport? Do you have that kind of servant's heart? Are you that united under Christ? Or do we still have walls up between us? I don't do that role. Let me ask you, would you be willing, and have you invited your neighbor to church lately, even the one you don't like so well? I want you to ponder this morning, friends. do we have the heart of a servant? Do the people sitting in the church pews today, in this church today, do we have the heart of a servant? Because that, my friends, is what Jesus asked of us. He asked it of his disciples. He asked it of us to have a servant's heart. He said, I do this to show you an example that you might do that to each other. Serve people however I may. You say, preacher, I ain't about to get on my knees and wash somebody's feet. That is precisely what Jesus was speaking against. Cast out the pride and the prejudice and the walls and invite in the will of the master, who says to his disciples, go and do likewise. The servant's heart, friends, will be a united heart. Process that a minute and tell me if I'm wrong. The servant's heart will be a united heart, because if I have the heart of a servant, I have set pride aside. It no longer defines me and drives who I am. I have set pride and prejudices aside because I want to serve the master, and I'll do what he asked me to do. I'll go where he asked me to go. The servant's heart will be a united heart. Jesus said, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. What did he just do? He served them. Friends, I mentioned this morning in the earlier service. I'm going to mention it again. The devil, Peter refers to him as your adversary, church. The devil will try to sow discord and disunity and disharmony and divisiveness and separation in the church. He will use things like race. He will use things like, well, they're not qualified to be a VBS teacher, or they shouldn't be leading this Awana group, or what translation does he think he's using? That's not the right one. He will take those kinds of things and he will try to divide the body of Christ. A liar and a murderer from the beginning, God said, and the devil will try to cause disunity in the church. Remember the story of the three men? You say, Jim, that's just some old story. But think of the principle of it, because it happens today. It happens today in church houses. It happens today among those that claim the name of Jesus. The adversary comes in unawares, and pretty quick, instead of being united around Jesus, we're divided because of something else. I fear and feel that pride is one of the biggest motivators the adversary uses, because we fall right into that trap. Consider for a moment the three blind men. You can't be healed. He didn't do that to me. And we feel the same way with our own things in life sometimes today. The heart of the servant does whatever it takes to please the master. Okay? That's the heart of the servant. That's what Jesus was displaying. The heart of the servant will do whatever it takes to please the master. No job is too menial. No job is not important. In the church, in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God, a servant's heart will be a united heart, and a servant's heart will do whatever it takes to please the master. I'm not talking about compromising his word. I'm talking about going by his word, but being willing to be united because I have a servant's heart. Unity, friends, in the body of Christ, believers all over our communities, this nation, and the world, unity in the body of Christ, it's what's going to get her done for the kingdom of God. Unity among God's people instead of walls and bickering and all manner of things coming up between us. Unity in the body of Christ, believers all over our nation and the world, it's what's going to get it done for the kingdom of God. A servant's heart is what's going to be able to get it done for the kingdom of God. A servant's heart, listen to me now, is not concerned with how am I going to look, Jim? I can't get down and wash at somebody's feet. How am I going to look? A servant's heart doesn't consider that as much as how does my life reflect Jesus? That's the servant's heart. How does Jim's life reflect Jesus? How does the church reflect Christ? A servant's heart doesn't care if I have to get on my knees and wash his feet. I will do it with joy because I want to reflect Jesus. That's the servant's heart. Too often times, pride comes in. Oh, I can't do that. Are you kidding me? Oh, that's for somebody else. Oh, that's for girls. Oh, that's for boys. Oh, that's for the next church. A servant's heart is not so concerned with how I look and people perceive me, but how I reflect the master. A servant's heart is a willingness to do whatever God calls me to do. A servant's heart is a willingness to overlook the criticism. You remember the three? Critical of each other's healings. Can't be. He didn't heal me like that. A servant's heart is willing to overlook that criticism. Ah, Jim, you preached lousy today. Ah, VBS teacher, you did a lousy job today. Overlook that kind of stuff to serve the master. A servant's heart is a willingness to stay the course. Stay the course. Some days it gets hard. For you, for me, for people in the church, for people in the body. A servant's heart, it's united in Christ and united with their brothers and sisters, is a willingness to stay the course even when there is strife. A servant's heart is a willingness to wash your brother or sister's feet and serve them to the glory of God, regardless of how others have treated me. A servant of Jesus who desires unity is more concerned about kingdom matters than if I am right. You hear me on that, friends? A servant's heart is more concerned about the kingdom of God and the glory of God than if I am right. Believe me, I've had to choke down some of this myself this week. You never know how the adversary is going to come at you and try to divide you and have disunity in the body. It could be over what I've said today. It could be over a building project. It could be over someone who thinks they have all the answers and everybody should be listening to me. It could be over a translation of the Bible. Silly little things that the adversary will drill home to us and our pride will flare up and say, I deserve better than that. I'm asking you, friends, today, please let the Spirit of God unite you to Him in Christ and unite each other with a servant's heart. Because a servant's heart united in Christ with other believers, the devil cannot stop. When God and His Spirit is leading us, united and with a servant's heart, amazing things happen. Transformations happen. Revival happens. Souls come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. People become holy people. So let me close with this, the words of Jesus. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. The church with a servant's heart, I believe, is a church with a united heart. Let us pray. Father, thank you for speaking to me today and this past week about unity and the servant's heart. Thank you for reminding me, Heavenly Father, that I haven't always had a servant's heart. Forgive me for that, O Lord. Forgive us in the church house for sometimes not having a servant's heart. Forgive us, Father, even the church house for not being united under Jesus. Forgive us, glorious God, for the ways that we have been wrong and done wrong and acted wrong and thought wrong, not been united, not even close to a servant's heart. Father, glorify your name in us. Glorify your name in the church the bride of Christ, O God. Glorify your name, Father, in this church right here in Motley. Use us, Father, that our lives might reflect Jesus. Use us, Father, to glorify your wonderful name. Use churches all over these communities and around America and around the world to point people to the Master, to Jesus. God, I pray, the words that you told Solomon, I pray, Father, that we would just find ourselves there when you said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, you said, Father, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Father, help us to be humble. Forgive us for pride, arrogance, and nastiness that always takes over instead of humility and gentleness and compassion and a servant's heart. Father, use us to glorify your mighty name. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.